Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
A few weeks ago, my dad called me and he was getting ready. My mom and my dad were getting ready to go on a trip together to Alaska. And anytime my dad goes on a large trip, he always calls with the, hey, in case we die conversation. Anybody? And he's done this enough times now where I'm like, Dad, I know. He's like, hey, bud, just call in, let you know we're going on a trip. And if we don't make it back, if the plane crashes, if we get eaten by bears, if the boat sinks, everything you need for our estate is in the filing cabinet. Good luck. Right? And he's like, you know, hey, split up the inheritance with your siblings. And, you know, I left you something, but hey, I wish I invested in Google when I had the chance. And I've actually heard him say that multiple times, actually. I think the missed opportunity of Google hangs over my dad to an unnatural degree. I've heard him tell me the story, man. I had the chance. I was going to invest in Google there in 2004. I had the plan to do it when they went public. Got busy that day, and then the stock skyrocketed. I thought, well, surely it's capped out, and I decided not to invest in it. And he goes, that was a missed opportunity. Have you ever had a missed investment opportunity? Anybody like, I should have? Anybody like, yeah, I feel that Google one, actually. You're not the only one. There were, like, did you know Yahoo could have bought Google for $1 million? Back before they went public, they could have bought Google for $1 million. Today, it's estimated, like, their market cap's estimated to be worth around $2 trillion. So, little miss there, a little whiff. Blockbuster famously had the chance to buy Netflix for a mere $50 million back in 2000, and today that would be worth about $200 billion. That's a missed opportunity. Or has anybody ever heard of the name Ronald Wayne? Ron Wayne, not John Wayne, Ron Wayne. He owned a percentage of Apple in 1976. He sold his stock off for $800. That would be worth $400 billion today. Missed investment opportunity. So I can assure you, if you've missed an investment opportunity, at least in the financial marketplace, you might not be feeling like Ronald Wayne feels today. I'm sure he's had to have some retroactive healing on that missed opportunity. But I want to tell you today about an investment opportunity that is actually available to all of us that is far greater than Google, Netflix, Apple, and all of those things combined. It is the Church of Jesus Christ. She truly is the world's greatest investment opportunity. Now, I've been on a journey in seeing the value of the church. When I say that, like, hey, you just told me Google is worth like unimaginable amounts of money, and you're telling me that the church is worth more? Absolutely. And it's been a journey for me over the last 20 plus years where God has been showing me the unmatched value of the people of God on the mission of God right here, right now on planet Earth. I remember one time, the beginning of some of this dialogue, the initial seed that was planted in my spirit happened when I was probably 19 years old. I was at church, and I'll never forget this. I was sitting in the service back in Fredericton, my home church, and there was a woman there by the name of Miss Moore. She was a single woman, elderly. She's probably about 90 years old. Her and her sister, they came to church every single week. And I'll never forget this. We're sitting in service, and she had some kind of spell. I think it was a stroke. And so a couple men grabbed her, and my mother was like the nurse in the room. And so she always responded when anything like that happened. And so I went with the man and my mom, and we got Miss Moore out into the lobby while we called an ambulance. And she's having a stroke, and she's losing like control of her body. And we've got her down there on the ground. I'll never forget this. And she starts doing this with her hand. And I'm like, what is she doing, Mom? What's she doing? And she starts pawing at her pocket. She had this long like coat on, and she's pawing at the pocket of the coat, and she reaches down into the pocket, and she, with like her little like shaky hand, grabs a $20 bill and hands it to my mom. And I remember seeing her do that and thinking, why does she think that her $20 in the offering plate is so important right now? Like she could die, and the thing that she's thinking about is making sure this gets in the plate. And that stuck with me so heavily to see a woman who did pass away not long after that. Like she went out giving. And I've thought about that over the last 2 decades many times. And at the time I witnessed her do that, I didn't have that same understanding of the value of the church that I believe she had in that moment. There was something that compelled her in literally what was some of her dying breaths to make sure that she invested what she had in the church. And it has been a journey for me in coming to realize deep in my bones that the most important work, company, people, thing, organization on planet Earth right now is not Tesla, it is not Google, it's not Apple, it's not armies, it's not nations, it's not powers, it's not sports teams, it's not artists or celebrities, it's not the liberals or the PCs or the Democrats or the Republicans, it's not great philanthropic works even. The greatest movement on planet Earth, worthy of all of our efforts and investment, is the Church of Jesus Christ. I am convinced that it is the most enduring, impactful, transcendent, heavenly endeavor that is happening on our planet right now. For a long time, I've missed it. But over the last 20 years, God has showed me, especially in serving the local church, especially being part of King's Church, and seeing the unparalleled impact that the people of God, when she's right, the unparalleled impact of the Bride of Christ. I am convinced that the church is the supreme investment opportunity on planet Earth. Many Christians do miss this. A lot of us, we struggle to understand the supreme value of the church. We don't see it the same way we see things like investing in Google, or maybe we prioritize different things. We prioritize our retirement or recreation or vacations or material things or collecting things. But I want to tell you this morning, and I feel like the Spirit of God wants me to push into this, that there is nothing as worthy of financial investment, and I would even say sacrifice, like pouring our best, putting our treasure into the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing as worthy. And this is, my friends, why we're here. We are here for such a time as this to build the kingdom and reach the lost. And the vehicle through which God does that is us. It is the people of God through people who give. The church doesn't just magically happen. The Spirit of God is the one who builds the church. We believe that. And yet through every great move of God on the earth, if you go back through history, through every great move of God, it's happened through people who faithfully gave their best to see it happen. Did you know this even happened with the ministry of Jesus? You think about God, who owns everything. We talked about it last week. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And yet, when Jesus came and began his ministry, do you know that God let 3 women bankroll his earthly ministry? What does that tell you about how God works? That even the earthly ministry of Jesus was largely funded and facilitated through the gracious and generous investment of a woman named Mary, a woman named Joanna, and a woman named Susanna. You look it up in the Gospels, it's there. And even in his death, we find that you have these benevolent believers coming in and making the work of God happen. That was a dog barking. That was it. I'll take that amen all day. Now think about it. When Jesus died and they took him to, he had no tomb. And then through the movement of the Spirit, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, men of means, they provided this way for Jesus' body to be laid in the ground, that he would soon, on the third day, rise again. And that tomb stands as a testimony to a new creation, to our King of Kings who conquered death. But this was facilitated by real people in a real place at a real time with real means that they really invested to see this happen. It's a huge, huge deal. And you see this through the early church. You read some of the letters of Paul. He's like, hey, thank Priscilla and Aquila. This wouldn't have been possible without them. He's highlighting people who put skin in the game. And if we could do like revival history, you could look through some of the great moves of God. If you have a Bible in your hands or on your phone and you're reading it in English, do you know that's because of a man named William Tyndale, who at great cost gave his life to translate the Latin into English so it could be in every home in England and then subsequently throughout the world? But this William Tyndale did not have the means to do it. And many people don't know there was a man named Humphrey Monmouth, who was a cloth merchant in London, who caught a vision of what Tyndale was doing and said, whatever you need, I'm going to make this happen. See, God does his work through the church, and the church are the ones that actually fund and supply the mission to go forward. The first great awakening that led to the second great awakening. We can actually track, you know, where we are today by these moves of God. But did you know the first great awakening, you have George Whitefield, you have John Wesley, you have these guys that are going out that God is using mightily, but people don't realize they were bankrolled by a woman named Lady Hamilton. A British aristocrat who God got a hold of her heart and she said, I'm giving everything to see that this goes everywhere. See, God uses people who invest. They catch a vision for the significance of what's happening, the significance of what the church is doing, and they give aggressively and intentionally to see the church built up and the world reached so that lost people can come to know the saving power of King Jesus. And the kingdom has been built by people like that. And can I just tell you, if you're sitting in Halifax today, if you're sitting in St. Stephen today, or in Charlottetown, or here at the Valley, or in West St. John, we are here today because people have caught a vision for the supreme value of the Church of Jesus Christ on earth as it is in heaven. People have given sacrificially. This is why we're here. This is why we have buildings and church plants and equipment that we can broadcast all around the world. This is how we've been able to build up programs and staffing. It's all here because hundreds, actually at this point, thousands of people have caught the vision and said, there's nothing more worthy for me to give to or even sacrifice for than the Church of Jesus Christ. And the question we need to answer is, well, first I want to just tell you too, if you're sitting there thinking, okay, so we need great rich people to give big so that we can push this forward, that's not how it works. The Lord is after the millionaire's million and the widow's mite. It's not equal amount, it's equal sacrifice. And in some beautiful work of God, it all comes together and it gets the thing done. And the question we, as the people of God right here, right now, have got to ask is, will we be faithful to the mission of God? Will we steward our lives and aim them at seeing the kingdom expanded in Atlantic Canada? Will we be faithful in our day? I think sometimes what keeps us from giving intentionally and aggressively, I mean like seeing the church as my priority, that this thing gets built up and I give my best to the church and that I want to see this thing flourish. I think at the end of the day, we lack vision for its value. Like my dad with Google, it wasn't quite clear enough for him to make sure he set an alarm and got up, and the first thing that he did was invest in Google. I think sometimes we lack vision for how valuable the church actually is. And so with my brief time today, I want to give you a few thoughts on why the church is the world's greatest investment and why I have no problem looking you all in the eye and telling you there's nothing more worthy with your life than making sure the Church of Jesus Christ multiplies, is built up, is sent out, and that we are faithful to the Great Commission. There's nothing more worthy of investment than that. And I want to give you a few thoughts on why the Church of Jesus Christ is the world's greatest investment. Can I get another bark? Woo! All right, they're coming in fast. Are you ready? Number one, the kingdom is where Jesus promises the greatest returns. Why is the church such a worthy investment? Why should this demand your top prioritization when it comes to how you steward your finances or where maybe not even just the extra goes, but where maybe the Lord might lead you to sacrifice intentionally? Why is it so worthy? Here's the first reason. The kingdom of God is where Jesus promises the greatest returns will always be. Here's the principle you need to understand. When we give to a healthy church, the return, even though sometimes it looks different or might even be invisible for a season, the return is always exponential. God does not use 1 + 1. He uses multiplication. And one of the principles you see in the scripture is when something is given to Jesus, when resource touches the body of Christ, that resource gets multiplied beyond what it normally could do. Kingdom investments go farthest, they last longest, they reach highest, and they accomplish the most. Jesus showed us this. I mean, you think of the story of him feeding the multitudes. We're told in Matthew there was 5,000 men one day, and Jesus threw 2 fish and 5 loaves when they were surrendered to him. Do you know the story? He multiplied that little bit of resource that was surrendered, and he multiplied it in such a way that he fed all the men, plus their wives, plus their children. So upwards of 15,000 people, and there were leftovers. And that is there to show us that Jesus, when he is trusted with resource, has the ability to multiply and extend what in natural terms should not be happening. He miraculously takes what we give him and he multiplies it exponentially. It goes further than it could otherwise. So why should you invest your dollar in the church? Because it will go more than a dollar should, go further than a dollar should. Jesus told us this would be the case. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 5, he talks about a farmer sowing seed and that he scattered seed. And he says, some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And then it says, then the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. He's talking about kingdom soil. And the seed that fell on good soil, Jesus said, produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. This is a biblical promise, and I have seen this in our church. How far a dollar goes in our context is mind-blowing. I am convinced there is no limit for what Jesus can do when our resources surrender to him. Woof! I'm going to bark at you all day until I get an amen. When we invest, I don't know if the locations heard that a few minutes ago, but that was the best. I'm going to bring my dog next time. When we invest in the kingdom, it multiplies and it exponentially grows. And let me just say something tenderly for a second. Like, just stay with me until I'm done this thought. This takes like some kingdom wisdom and some shrewd management. It's very appealing for us to give to something that we see the end. Like when I give to this thing, I can see what my money did immediately. And so a lot of us, and for good reason, we're drawn to give maybe to compassion ministries and stuff like that. And we're supposed to, by the way. We're supposed to, like Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. And the church should be the people who are feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. Like that is part of our job. However, it takes wisdom to realize that you can catch a man a fish and he eats for a day, or you can teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. And one of the things I've become convinced of is this, that if you give too far downstream, your money doesn't go as far. But if you invest up here in the church and you water the tree, the fruit grows. And so let me say it like this. Sometimes we're tempted to go to like the supermarket almost and buy the fruit and hand it out. That's good. But you know what's better? Planting a tree and watering it. Creating an orchard where you have this constant propagation of fruit that you're able to give out. Let me use an actual example. Love Week is an incredible thing we do every year, and we're going to keep doing it. And there's so many reasons we do it. And this past year, you all gave over $400,000 in 1 week. And you saw the hundreds of people that were affected by that. And it feels incredible. But you know that there's no way that Love Week exists, and there's no way that Love Week exists at the scope and scale that it exists if we did not have a big, vibrant, healthy, Christ-like, bustling church that has grown up as the tree on which that fruit sits. Do you understand? So I want to challenge you to realize, like, if I give to the general fund at King's Church, it's going to the tree. You know, you feed what feeds you is the principle here. And it's going to build up that tree. And I'll just say for my household, like Melanie and I, we give all year round. We talked about the tithe last week. We do that. But we give above and beyond that. We support multiple Compassion Kids. We try to be generous when the Lord leads. That's part of just being a Christian. But you know what? The vast, vast, vast majority of the financial contributions we make and the gifts we give go right into the general fund at King's Church. Why? Because I know it goes the farthest there. That money stretches into things like Alpha and Celebrate Recovery and congregations and technology and programs and staffing, and it's creating this whole system. It's those gifts that plant churches. Halifax are there today. St. Stephen are there today. PEI is there today. West St. John is there today. Because people surrendered in faith and great trust of this house's leadership to say, hey, I trust that they're going to steward this to the best of their ability and God is going to bless it. But those are there because of that. And we are getting ready right now to launch our sixth location in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia. In January, Pastor Josh, camera team, look alive, look alive. Stand up, Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh Forbes. Let's get him on camera. Very dark. There you are, right over here, Josh. Look at the camera, wave to the sights. Pastor Josh and his beautiful wife, Maddie, are moving to Bridgewater, Nova Scotia in January. We are believing in faith that God is going to supply all that we need and then some. You're going to hear a lot more about this in the coming weeks and months as we get ready. We're going to do a commissioning in January when we send them out. But we need money to be able to actually accomplish this. It's not free. I wish it was, but it's not. And we need to actually, again, once again, intentionally invest in seeing these things happen. What's my point? My point is when we invest in the kingdom, it goes so far. Think of the people that are going to be reached in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, that God knows their story today. God knows the testimonies we're going to be telling about people that God transformed their lives 3 years, 5 years from now in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, because we went and we gave. It's an incredible thought, incredible thought. So giving towards the fruit is wonderful, but developing the tree that actually grows the fruit, that's wisdom. Let me say that again. Giving towards the fruit is wonderful, but giving towards the development of the tree that grows the fruit, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Number two, actually, really quick, I'll make mention. On your seats when you came in, there was an impact report. We just wanted to put, again, a glimpse in front of you of just some of, a snapshot of some of the fruitfulness that we're experiencing right now at our church. Like, because we are investing in the kingdom, we're seeing this great fruit happen. 508 people have been baptized at all of our locations in the last 24 months. We've seen 131 people since September get on board with giving financially. Hey, disciples, can you applaud those people who have taken that step? More than a golf, can I get a bark? Like, that's massive. You're seeing the growth in all of our ministries. Next Gen, we've had hundreds of people annually go through Alpha, hundreds of people a week attending Celebrate Recovery. Like, we are seeing this fruitful multiplication happen in our midst, but it's because people are being faithful to invest their best in the kingdom. Number two, the kingdom produces eternal heavenly rewards for the investor. So not only does it create great fruit, but it also creates blessing for us when we give. This is a biblical promise. This isn't prosperity gospel. This is gospel. That God loves a cheerful giver, and whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. And the scripture tells us that we actually are storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So a lot of us, we think about our RSP and our retirement savings, or even the inheritance that my dad called me and told me is waiting. And you know what? A godly man leaves an inheritance. It says that in the scripture. However, do not Do not mistake earthly inheritance with the value of heavenly inheritance. Those are two different things on two completely different levels. One you will enjoy for a temporary time. The other you will enjoy forever. Forever is a long time, y'all. And so it behooves us to over-prioritize our forever inheritance. And the scripture tells us, look at 2 Corinthians. Paul says this, outwardly we're wasting away, and inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And he says, for our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Have you thought about the eternal glory lately? I don't think we think about our heavenly reward quite enough. At least I find, I guess the older I get, maybe that's the thing. Did you think about it more as you get old? Some of our saints, okay, yeah, good, good. I find the older I get, the more I am thinking about it. I had a moment not too long ago where the Lord confronted me on how much I underimagine my eternal reward. I was on Instagram doom scrolling. Don't do that, by the way. And on my algorithm, this mansion in Montana came up. You ever see some of those like little reels? They show this beautiful property, this mansion in Montana, acres of land, a river, horses. And I was just like, wow, how amazing would it be if I owned that? And I was just sitting there kind of daydreaming, borderline coveting. And I felt the Lord say, you can imagine that. My word tells you, you can't even imagine what I have in store for you. You can wrap your head around some pretty crazy rewards on earth. And the scripture says you can't even fathom what the ultimate reward is going to look like. And I felt the Lord just check my spirit where he said, you underimagine and undervalue the great reward that I have in store for you. And this reminds me that I need to just over-prioritize these treasures in heaven. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. It's far better. We need to recover some heavenly imagination. Amen? Can I just speak this over you? I promise you, there is no earthly experience or earthly reward or earthly inheritance that will even be in the conversation of the glory that you will experience forever and ever and ever. We are here for a breath. It is a vapor. But we will be with the Lord in glory forever. And the scripture's pretty clear about it. We will all get into the kingdom by the grace of God through his kindness, amen? Through what he did for us on the cross. However, the Bible also talks about variations of reward. And that those who intentionally invest their best in the kingdom now, somehow that gets stored up for us in eternity. And I want you to think about that as you prioritize your finances. There's an adage, and it's wisdom. It says, pay now, play later. Pay now, play later. Kingdom people should take that to heart the most, where a little bit of sacrifice now is going to be so worth it forever. Amen? Number three, told you we're moving fast today. I don't see number three in my slides. I don't think do you have it back there? Oh, good, okay, perfect. The kingdom of God produces earthly investment for the earthly blessing for the investor. I feel like we just did that. Earthly rewards for the investor, or heavenly rewards. Okay, yeah, getting a little confused. So when we invest in the kingdom, it creates eternal reward for us. But it's not just that. When you invest in the kingdom, God blesses you here and now. Has anybody experienced that? Like when you prioritize the things of God on planet Earth, he sees in you there's a faithful steward who can be trusted with little, therefore they can be trusted with much. He rewards faithfulness. He said that. He who can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. He said, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. There's even a passage where he says, and it sounds so unfair, but this is how things work. He says, whoever has little or whoever has much, even more will be given. And whoever has little, even what they have will be taken away. What's he talking about? He's talking about faithfulness and stewardship. If I can trust you, I will give you more. And if I can't trust you, you're going to lose it. And when we are trustworthy with stewardship, God has a tendency to bless us more and more. I've seen this to be true in our context. We have some people who walk in just unusual blessing, and it's because they've proven themselves to be faithful. Do you know that, like, grace is given, but favor is earned? Let me say that again. Grace is given, favor is earned. Think about it with your own, like those of you who are parents. Like, all my kids have my love. All of them. They can't change the dial on that. However, how they steward their lives will disproportionately affect what I trust them with. Amen? If everything I invest in my kid turns out to be a harm to them and a waste to me, I'm going to hold back on that because I love them. However, if I see one that every time I give them something, they turn it into profit, or they use it for God's glory or whatever, I'm going to be motivated to give them more and more. Amen? And God is the same. He's a perfect father. So how much more is he looking at us saying, Brent, you've proven trustworthy with little, so I'm going to trust you with a little more. And we see this in our lives, that if we are faithful with little, we'll be faithful with much. And I've seen God increase blessing in connection with how I've been obedient and faithful to steward what he's already given me. And there have been times in my life, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but there have been times in my life where the Lord blessed me and the Spirit of God told me, I'm blessing you here because you were faithful over here. Because you did that thing I wanted you to do. Because you were obedient in this way. Because you were sacrificial in this way. Have you, any of you ever had the grace of God just like where he told you, I'm blessing you now because you were faithful then? It happens. And can I just say, I read that stat that 130 people stepped out and started giving. And even last week, I had many people respond just feeling convicted that God was calling them to start. You know, we said, hey, give something, give it consistently and watch it grow. Many of you were indicating, I'm going to step in, I'm going to start doing that. Can I just ask you in advance, when, not if, but when the faithfulness of God gets poured out in your life, can you tell us that story? We want to hear it. We want to hear just how good God was to you. And those are some of my favorite stories in the life of the church. When somebody trusts God with their treasure and they find out that he treasures them and he blesses them in a way they couldn't have imagined. So when that happens for you, wherever you are, whatever location, would you tell one of us? Because we want to share in the joy of God's goodness. All right, number four. Are you with me? I got two more. We're going quick. Told you, we went hard in the paint last week. And so this one's going to be a little lighter. Number four. Investment in the kingdom produces earthly blessing for others. It's not just for us. In fact, if we could do a biblical study, God seems very interested in blessing his children so that we can be a blessing to others. He loves to do that. And what father wouldn't? Like, I am no more pleased with my kids than when they are serving one another well. That makes me so proud, and it blesses me so much. Like when my older son is encouraging my younger son, who just like looks up to him and he walks on water. And when I see my older son go out of his way to encourage Alex, when I see Aiden encouraging Alex, as a father, that pleases me more than anything. And this is how God works, that we are actually here to be a blessing to those around us, to be like Jesus, who in the parable of the prodigal son, he was the good older brother who gave and who did not like shun his younger brother, but actually welcomed him in. And this is the call on the church, that we are supposed to be God's ambassadors, like Christ's ambassadors. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 that he's making his appeal through us, and that our kindness often shows the world the reality of Jesus. Matthew 5, Jesus said this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. It says, be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your what? Your good deeds, yeah. And then glorify your Father who's in heaven." What's Jesus saying? It's like, get out there. Pour out my goodness on the world around you. And when the people of God are walking in the image of God, stewarding what they have before in the fear of God, sacrificially, what happens is Jesus says, well, you shine like a light. You pop like salt. You become the light of the world. What's this? Think about this picture of light with me for a minute. What does light do? Well, light reveals, doesn't it? It provides truth, clarity, revelation, illumination. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do in this world. Light also is a welcoming beacon, isn't it? It can provide safety. Think of a lighthouse. Think of a city on a hill that's positioned there to be seen so that people say, ah, there's a light, and they come to it. You think about salt. What does salt do? Well, salt provides flavor, vitality, joy. It's a picture of that. You think of salt as a preservative. You think of salt bringing safekeeping. Salt sustains. And Jesus is saying this is a picture of what we as the people of God are supposed to be like in society. And can I just tell you, and I want you to understand this, because you're not going to hear this from the government. You're not going to hear this from social media. I am convinced that the greatest value add to society are the people of God. Woof! The greatest value add in society right now are the people of God. Like even economically, I read, there's a study that came out last year in Canada, and they looked at a few dozen churches at the economic impact in their community. And this study basically determined that for every dollar given to a healthy church, it turns into $5 of economic blessing into their community. So you think about this. Think about King's Church. So we annually right now are sitting at just about $5 million revenue at all of our locations, all in big one pot. So even if that study is right, there's $25 million of economic impact right into our communities in Quispamsis and St. John, Halifax, Charlottetown, St. Stephen. Like, there's economic value add, but how many of you know, again, back to my prior point, the real treasure we're giving is everlasting. Like, there is no price on a transformed life. There is no price. There's no price too high for someone who gets freedom from addiction and bondage. Like, those things are worth everything. And we, as a church, are participating in that. Gonna wake that dog back up. I like it. I think the devil's trying to do a smear campaign. You know, there's even a motion that's sort of been circulating around Parliament, like Bill 429, Bill 430, that's trying to like take away charitable status from churches unless we like, you know, sign off on things they know we're not going to sign off on. And, you know, two things I'd say to that. One, even if they take away charitable status, we're going to be just fine. Like, this is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. I'm not worried about that at all. And y'all, hey, getting a little tax break on my taxes is great, but that's not why I do it. That's not why I give. And I know our church will be just fine if that happens. But I will say to the government, are you idiots? Right? Like, no, think about this. There are godless, like, pagan countries in Europe that know just mathematically and economically that it's worth it to them to leave the church alone. Because what they're doing is far better than what we get back from taking that little bit of property tax or whatever. And so I want you to be thinking about that, though, that the value of the church, that kingdom investment in the through the church creates earthly blessing for others. All right, I was kind of ranting there. I needed to get that off my chest. Number five, almost done. Keyboard's coming back. We're going to wrap up. Number five, investment in the kingdom. Here's the big one. And those of you who have been around church, I hope you knew this was coming. The kingdom of God, investment in the kingdom of God is used to save lost people. Yeah. Like, y'all, that is why we're here. Like, just stop and think about why did Jesus not just bring the new heaven and the new earth the moment that he rose again? Why didn't he just, God, snap his fingers and say, we're done with this? Well, because he had a plan that, well, one, we wouldn't have ever been born, so thank you, Lord, for waiting, right? And then he's not just waiting that his purposes would be unfolded, that his purposes would unfold and that the people that are supposed to be born in human history are born, but he's got even greater purposes than that. He's got redemptive purposes. That's why Peter said, don't think that God is being slow to return. He's waiting, and he's being patient because he's trying to reach people. Like, think of how bad God wants to come back. Like, nobody wants to return and put the world to right more than Jesus himself. Like, if you're a parent and you have a sick kid and you have the means to heal that sickness, would you not be eager to do it? Right now, Jesus could fix every single problem in society, in heaven and earth. He could fix it all. Why is he not? Because there are people who are estranged from God that he's waiting to see come back into the kingdom so they do not miss their opportunity. Like, that should grip our hearts. And that is why we're here. We are here to be used by God. You know, a lot of the times people will say the church has a mission, and that's partially true, but you know what's a better way to say it? That the mission of God has a church. The reason that the church is on planet Earth is to accomplish the mission of God, to bring glory to God and fulfill the Great Commission. That is why we're here. And y'all, we will be accountable for how did we value the Great Commission? Did we value our purpose on planet Earth appropriately? And I just think some days I lose sight of that. I lose sight of the urgency. I lose sight of the people that Jesus already died for. I lose sight of this region where God is like, hey, would you just give everything that you would win one, that you would see people come to know me? For God, people were worth giving his son for. What's that worth to us? And Jesus has placed you, King's Church, in the midst of hundreds of thousands of people. He knows their names, he knows their families, he knows their histories, he knows their concerns, their burdens, their baggage, their bondage, he knows all of it. And he has placed us here for such a time as this. This is why we're here. Like, we're all missionaries, we're all disciples. We are all kingdom benefactors, and we are all kingdom, you know, investors. This is why God has us here. And I am thankful that before I was ever born, there were godly men and women who caught a vision of the value of the Church of Jesus Christ in their day, and that my great-grandfather one day in Graham and Ann, New Brunswick. You know, people put on a revival meeting. They paid to see that happen, brought in a preacher, and my grandfather gave his life to Jesus. And then there were environments and churches that were built up to disciple him and show him what it looks like to follow Jesus and to raise up his family in the faith. And that over those years and decades, there were faithful kingdom communities who valued the kingdom and valued the glory of God and valued the mission of God above all else, so that that faith could pass on from my great-grandfather to my grandfather to my father to me and now to my kids. Like, there is literally nothing more valuable on planet Earth than what we are doing right here, right now. So what's your response? Invest your best in the church. I'm not saying don't take vacations, don't have fun. How many, you know, God wants us to enjoy life. Joy is the serious business of heaven. He doesn't want us to have a scarcity mindset, but he does want us to rightly prioritize our lives. And I just want to say to you, like, the kingdom is worth putting first. The church is worth sacrificing a little for. In fact, I would say the church is worth sacrificing a lot for. And we need investors. We need owners. We need people who own the mission and the vision, and they realize that what we are doing is the most important thing in Atlantic Canada. And y'all, can I just say, we got dreams. We have dreams. We want to see many, many congregations planted around this region. Amen? We want to see many Celebrate Recoveries happening all around Atlantic Canada. We want to see Alpha happening all around Atlantic Canada. We want to see more. We want to see One Conference continue to grow. We want to see Kingdom Academy continue to disciple and train up the next generation of leaders. We want to see Atlantic Kingdom Alliance bring synergy and a network to the Atlantic Canadian church like never before. Like, we believe we're just getting started. You know, there's another old adage that says, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And this is our time. Like, we're in it. Like, right away, can I just give you some sticker shock for a minute? Like, we need about 300K to, like, do Bridgewater and some of the other stuff that we have planned for next year. And that's just the plans that like are right here that we're gonna do in faith. We know it's gonna happen. But y'all, like, I'm gonna speak this over in faith. We need millions. Like, we wanna buy buildings and build buildings in Halifax and St. Stephen, and it's gonna take millions of dollars. We wanna see more churches and congregations launched. We wanna see more staff and programs developed. Like, we are just getting started, and we are a very large church, and yet the work and the call and the mission field, we're hardly scratching the surface, y'all. You know, sometimes I get not proud, but maybe a little like oversettled in how much we've accomplished as a church. And I always feel the Spirit of God say, you know, like, I'm celebrating what God is doing, but don't lose sight of the fact that it's not even a drop in the bucket to the need that is in Atlantic Canada. You know, we got probably 5,000 people that are regularly connected and participating in our church. That's incredible. There's never been anything like that east of Toronto. It's awesome. And yet, what is 5,000 people in the light of 2 million that are in Atlantic Canada, right? And let's say, even optimistically, that 10% of that 2 million are meaningfully following Jesus, which that's not the case. There's probably 1.8 million people out there that need the gospel. They need to have that moment like my grandfather had, and like I've had, and like you've had. And we are here to create environments and initiatives that see that happen. Amen? I want to be like Miss Moore. I want to go out giving. Amen. I want to go out giving. I want to know when I take my last breath, I didn't waste anything. And that I will step into my reward and I will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm going to get you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray. We chose these 2 weeks to talk about stewardship. Next week, we're going to move on. So come on back. This is super important though. We're going to take our offering this morning. We're not going to read the liturgy. I'm just going to pray for us. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to grip our hearts. There are ways to give. We should just get that up on the screen. I'd ask you, if you came ready to give, you can do that right now. I'll ask again for those of you who were here last week to take that step and start practicing stewardship. And I'd ask some of you to start praying about, is there a special investment and above and beyond thing that the Lord is calling you to do in this season as we kind of come towards year end? Is there something he's asking you to do by way of investing in your church? And I'd ask you to be obedient to that. Let's pray. Father, your word tells us that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. That there was a vision that he had that anchored him to do the most sacrificial thing imaginable. And so, Father, as your children, I ask today, as your son, I ask today over King's Church, would you expand our vision of your glory, of your worth, of your goodness? Would you expand our vision and give us your perspective on Atlantic Canada, on the people that you're trying to reach, on the work that is yet to be done. And Lord, would you stir our hearts? Would you stir our hearts, God, to see that you are looking to us for such a time as this? And so, Lord, I pray faithfulness over your people today. Lord, I pray against that demonic spirit that actually is bondage over Atlantic Canada, that orphan spirit that causes scarcity and fear. I break it off of us in the name of Jesus. Lord, would King's Church people be stepping boldly forward, unafraid, unattached to earthly things, confident in the goodness of God and sold out to the mission of God in this moment. We thank you, God. And we give these offerings to you today with grateful hearts, with obedient hearts, in sacrifice, and in confidence that you are able to meet our needs and you're able to take it beyond us to meet the needs of people who need you most. And so we surrender it to you today. Lord, I thank you for the great plans you have for our church. I thank you that you are faithful to supply all we need. We believe it today in faith, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.